Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. So listen for the word of God. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that I might by any means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. And our second reading comes from the book of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. So again, listen for the word of God. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool, called in Hebrew Bethsaida, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." And Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. The word of the Lord.
I'd like to read one other passage from Scripture, this also from the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, beginning at the 12th verse. Hear now these words. And Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for all these passages of your Holy Scripture, and as we reflect upon them this morning, we seek the guidance of your Holy Spirit, so that the words that I say and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight. Amen. You all heard of the golden rule, right? The one that goes, "The one who has the gold makes the rules." Oh, no, not that golden rule. The golden rule. Oh, I can't use that, can I? I can't use the word "the" anymore, can I? All right, but I'm going to do it anyway. The golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, you've heard that, right? I don't even remember when I learned the rule. It was probably in kindergarten or in Sunday school when I was young. But whatever, it has stuck in my head ever since. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The golden rule. I always thought that the golden rule was the end all and be all. I mean, what could be better than the golden rule? It's even found in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, where it says, "In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets." But then I found that there are other rules out there. A whole list of rules, a whole metallurgy of rules, if you will. And thanks to theologian Leonard Sweet, these rules have been categorized. The first rule, according to Sweet, is the iron rule. The iron rule goes something like this: do unto others before they do unto you. Of course, the premise of this rule is the best way to prevent unwanted behavior is by proactively preventing it. I'm going to boink you before you boink me, sort of thing. It's not so much a rule of love as it is a rule of survival. And yet, we can even find evidence of such a rule in the Bible. For think about how, in Jesus' time, how the lepers were made to live outside the cities, and they were forced to warn people that approached them by shouting at them, "Unclean, unclean," whenever they approached. It is the iron rule that was in force there. Get them out of the way to protect ourselves. The iron rule makes us suspicious of others who are not like us. They might get me, so I better take care of them first. And this rule is basically motivated by fear. Now, Sweet goes on from there to identify the second level of rules, which he calls the silver rule, which is do unto others as they do unto you. This is you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours rule. It's a transactional sort of rule that works well when everyone is operating in a positive mode and generating goodwill. It is the rule of a sort of negotiation that you might have with your neighbor. I'll trim the bushes between our 2 yards if you mow the grass between the bushes. Do unto others as they do unto you. And that works. However, when the neighbor stops mowing the yard, the bushes stop getting trimmed and everything gets messy. And the silver rule gets messy when our fallible nature gets the best of us. Then the rule that says, do unto others as they do unto you, kind of morphs into, he did this to me, so I'll do this to him. In the Bible, this rule is codified in the saying, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Of course, in the case of the Bible, this instruction was meant to limit the damage one could exact in revenge. But such a rule assumes that revenge is necessary, doesn't it? Do unto others as they do unto you can quickly lead to a lifelong feud, doesn't it? Think Hatfields and McCoys. This rule gives us permission to hold back on offering ourselves to others until they have offered themselves. And we see what a sort of offer they make. Kind of the Christmas present exchange thing, right? It is at this point that Sweet moves on to the golden rule. And what's interesting is that every major religion has a version of the golden rule, which basically says, treat others as you would like to be treated. And as we move from the iron rule to the silver rule, to the golden rule, we move away from selfishness to the beginnings of selflessness. Here we are called to self-awareness. How would I like to be treated in this situation? And it directs us to use that awareness to shape our relationship towards others. It is this rule that directs us to open the door for a person carrying a large number of packages, because we would want someone to do the same for us. It is this rule that encourages us to share a piece of candy with a friend, because we would want that to happen to us, wouldn't we? But there is a little problem with the golden rule. ultimately is still a self-centered rule. The golden rule pivots around us, around me. What is it that I would like to happen to me? And then you apply that knowledge to someone else, someone who may not be anything like me. I saw this revealed once when a neighbor welcomed a new person to the neighborhood by bringing that person a bottle of wine. After all, the neighbor thought, I would appreciate getting a bottle of wine from someone, so I will do that for this new person. However, the new person in the neighborhood was a recovering alcoholic, and the wine was the last thing he needed. We think we know what others want because we think we know what we want. It is that sort of thinking that led to the children of Native Americans in this country being taken away and placed in special schools where they were indoctrinated into the white culture. Many of these schools were run by churches, often with the best intentions, following the golden rule, and yet, we know that this whole process wasn't good. And it was this shortcoming in the golden rule that caused Sweet to look further and designate what he called the platinum rule. The platinum rule says, do unto others as they would have you do unto them. This rule is popular in the business world and summarized by a well-known slogan that I won't even say who came up with it, but it goes, have it your way. Okay, I don't even know if that's still around anymore. Maybe that's just for all the older folks. Have it your way. The platinum rule requires an investment in a real relationship and true listening. We have to get to know the person in order to understand what is important to them and what they value and how to communicate on their wavelength. As Christian author Linda Anderson puts it, the platinum rule is something we all do every day because it is important in all healthy relationships, from friendship to marriage to parent-child relationship to cross-cultural dialogue. We hear Jesus do this very thing in our passage that Kim read from the 5th chapter of John. Jesus is in Jerusalem near the healing pools, and there is a blind, lame, and paralyzed man there. And Jesus asks him, do you want to be made well? For you see, Jesus engages in a relationship instead of just assuming what this man wants and needs. I remember my previous church. We worked with an inner city youth ministry, and one of the church members, who was an orthodontist, wanted to work on the teeth of the young people in the city ministry. He was confused and even angry when the pastor resisted his efforts to set up clinic times in the inner city for him to work on the teeth of these youth. The pastor of kindly fame to our board and said, these youth are trying to survive, to live to the next day. There are more important needs than having straight teeth. From that moment, we at the suburban church sat down and listened to what this youth minister needed, and we tailored our help to what would be most effective in that setting. But if there is a shortcoming to the platinum rule, it is often that people themselves don't know what's best for them. There was a story a while back of a homeless man in Portland who died after the newspaper in town ran an article on him. So many people donated so much money to him out of compassion and caring that he overdosed on alcohol. The platinum rule can lead to enabling the harmful behaviors of others if we're not careful. And so it was this realization that caused Leonard Sweet to turn back to the Bible and find in Jesus' words a more complete rule, which Sweet called the titanium rule. And he based it on what Jesus told his disciples at the Last Supper in the Gospel of John. I give you a new commandment, says Jesus, that you love one another just as I have loved you. The titanium rule calls us to a new level of love in our relationships, to treat others not as we would want to be treated, not even as how they might want to be treated, but to treat them with the sacrificial love that Jesus, by which Jesus treats all of us. You might remember that when Jesus said these words at the Last Supper, he already knew that one of his disciples would betray him, and one of his disciples would deny him, and all of his disciples would abandon him. Yet it was at the Last Supper that Jesus washed the feet of all his disciples. And he ate a meal with all of his disciples. And it was only a few hours later that he would suffer and die for these same disciples. So what does it mean to love as Jesus loved, to do unto others as Jesus has done to us? It means sharing a meal with those who will fail you. It means washing the feet of those whom you cannot depend on. It means laying down your life for the good of even your enemies. From Jesus we know that we make the offer for the well-being of others, whoever those others might be in whatever place they are in life. The golden rule, the platinum rule, the titanium rule, maybe they can all be wrapped up in the Jesus rule. Love all with a sacrificial love that works for the best in everyone. Amen.